Well, good morning. House Democrats are working hard through the night, both on the Energy and Commerce Committee and the Ways and Means Committee, to push back against this GOP tax scam, where they are trying to enact the largest Medicaid cut in American history, north of $700 billion. And independent observers have confirmed that if the Republicans are successful in passing this GOP tax scam, then more approximately 14 million people will actually lose their health coverage. Hospitals will close, nursing homes will shut down. This really is a matter of life and death.
That's what they've been saying forever. It became a matter of death when they inspired that guy who volunteered for Bernie Sanders' campaign to go and shoot up a congressional ball field because they were talking like this. I'm just really tired of these people. I'm tired of all of it. I'm tired of the same damn fight every damn day. And it's all these crooks and liars and all of these people who make these stories up so that they can get something that best benefits their special interest. And Republicans aren't any damn better, if I'm being honest. I know the big thing right now is to act like, to fetishize them and act like they can't do anything wrong. But I've never been somebody who's an ass kisser for Uncle Sam, and I don't plan on starting now. I would be spitting on the graves of our founders if I did that. So we're not doing it. But I noticed that I saw a couple of pro-life organizations out there, and they were talking about how, oh, yes, you know, there are some Democrats that are trying to include, they don't want to cut Planned Parenthood funding and all this stuff. And I'm like, you realize that you mean there are three Republicans that are holding up the whole bill on that aspect of it. So there you go. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. It's actually already, we've already been yeeted into the sun. Kane, it's like, I'm already, normally when I walk into the studio, you guys are going to bear with me. Normally when I walk into the studio, it's like very cold.
Sexist.
It's penguin cold.
Cold.
It's like a man came here and turned down the thermostat. And it's the only part, of a structure in which I reside that I'm allowed to control the thermostat. And then I usually end up keeping it cool anyway. Oh my gosh, it's like 99,000 degrees outside already. We don't get a spring in Texas. They don't tell you that. They don't tell you this stuff.
Overnight.
Yeah. Overnight, we went from 83 to 99 degrees. So if you hear us panting or if we pass out from heat exhaustion, that's what that is. Just, you know, don't be worried. We'll come too. So we're going to get into the big, beautiful, but I don't know. I just don't want to call it that because there's a lot of garbage in it. And I was listening to, actually not listening to, I apologize, I was reading, rather, a transcript from, it was a Mike Johnson. He was on one of the morning talk show circuits, and he was talking about this bill. Because, you know, right now, going into what Hakeem Jeffries was saying, oh, they're cutting Medicare, they're cutting this. I mean, that's literally what no one's doing. I wish, honestly. See, this is what I can't run for office, because I would cut all of it. And then everyone would scream and cry, and everybody would be upset because austerity is no fun, but I would. And in fact, we're going to talk a little bit about this, because the austerity issue is now it's imperiling a race in Virginia. Yeah, we're going to get into all of that. We also have all of the latest with POTUS's Middle East travel. He descended into Qatar today. That's going to be interesting, because Qatar, you know, that's where Hamas lives. Hamas lives in Qatar. That's where they live. And they've, you know, it's not like we don't really have a totally great relationship with them in terms of them financing the deaths of Americans, et cetera, et cetera. But I digress. But I think his trip to Saudi Arabia was incredibly successful. I don't think anybody would say otherwise, right? I think that was a very successful trip. And that said, we're going to see what comes of this trip to Qatar, because you know they're going to be talking about Gaza and the situation there, and obviously what Hamas, I'm sure that Qatar is going to be doing its best to make sure that Hamas's demands are represented. So we're going to touch on that. I am not going to discuss the Diddy trial because it's disgusting and I don't care about, this is what happens when vanity and ego and evil all come together in a perfect storm of gross. I would rather gouge my eyeballs out and eat them than to talk about the Diddy trial. That's not an exaggeration. You can add that to the list, Steve. You can add it to the list. Just saying.
How do you have an appetite after you gouge your
someone
eyes out?
A couple of people actually asked me if I was going to talk about it. Like, why would you think, why would you want me to punish you in that regard? Why do you hate yourself? Why? So this, all of this, a lot, like I said, a lot to run down. Now, just so you know, a lot of what is in the bill or what they're trying to negotiate in the bill is a lot. It's a draft. It's a very much there's it's a working kind of like a working draft, so to speak. So the one of the big things that, you know, for all the discussion about Medicaid, Medicare, et cetera, is entitlements. So the new spending plan, because remember that was unveiled just earlier this week, it's restructuring the food stamp program, Daily Caller reported on this, by linking federal funding to each state's payment error rate. So states that have higher payment error rates would receive less in federal funding under the plan. So that's supposed to incentivize them to root out, you know, the waste and the fraud and the abuse. The House Agriculture Committee included the proposal in its draft bill, and that's supposed to be in the all-in-one legislative package. And again, the food stamp thing entirely by the federal government, the USDA, the SNAP program, et cetera, et cetera. Democrats are mad about this too. And I for the life of me, I can't figure out why unless they're taking the money from the waste, fraud, and abuse. That's what I'm thinking, Kane. Because now the way that this was, there are some conservatives that are upset about this because they said that it puts the states individually on the hook for food stamp fraud. But that's not something that the federal government, see, this is where it gets really tricky. You're talking about a federal plan, which is unconstitutional in the first place, and then states that are administering federal money through this plan that's supposed to have federal oversight. So it's almost like the way it's structured weird. I mean, Kane, you would agree. It's a weird structure.
It's like the whole SALT conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where some states pay out, but they get more than they pay out. Kind of a weird situation.
Depending on what their income tax.
Yeah.
Yeah, their income taxes are.
And their load as it relates to that those welfare programs.
Right. So the states with the higher payment error rates, they would receive less than federal funds under the plan. And again, this is all draft stuff. The Republican plan wants the states, well, it would require the states to cover cover at least a minimum 5% of their food stamp expenditures. And then the federal government would just then go and fund the rest of it, according to the way that the bill is drafted. But if a state has an error rate 10% or above 10%, they have to pay, they're responsible for 25% of the benefits that they provide to the residents of their state. Here's the kickers, 28 states go over 10%.
Yes.
So this is can I just say, I thought it was way more than that.
Yeah.
But some of the others are like at 9%. There's a handful of them that are at 9%. 28 are over 10%. And some are way beyond it. Some are like 15. Some are way beyond it. And that's all the most recent data for that is from the USDA. And that's from 2023. We don't have anything newer. They haven't released 24 yet. But that's all from the USDA stats from 2023. And so, like, for instance, guess what Alaska's error rate would be for this?
The error.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Oh, man.
Don't tell me it's more than 15.
Oh, dude. Dude.
What?
D-O-O-O-O-D-E, dude. It's 60%.
What? More than half?
More than half, 60%. So literally 60% of Alaska's food stamp budget is waste, fraud, and abuse. Now, New Jersey, 1/3 of their benefits are misallocated. South Carolina, it's 20%. California has an almost 14% error rate. So they would have to fund 25% of the food stamp cost. That's like $15 billion, plus it's like more than $3 billion this year already under what it would be. New York's is 13%. So they would have to pay 25% of their $8 billion in food stamp spending. So they would have to pay $2 billion to cover the waste, fraud, and abuse in that. And then the states with the lowest rates are still required to fund 5% because as of right now, they fund none of it. They don't fund any of it. That's the...
So I'm hearing accountability in play here. Mm-hmm. Is there... I don't see anything wrong with this yet.
Oh, it's so bad. It puts states on the hook for it. That's what I'm so I hear, I think there's some of the capital L libertarian folks that are part of the right coalition and the Democrats. That's the common, that's what I'm hearing the most of. Democrats suddenly are interested in 10th Amendment issues.
Yeah, well, this is a federalist.
Just like they suddenly don't like refugees now.
We all know that just like education, healthcare, and everything else works better the closer to local that you get.
Yeah.
Hand this over to the states, make them responsible, implement this accountability so that they're effective for their own citizens. I don't see a problem with any of this.
Now, Congress is going, we remember we talked to Representative Beth Van Dyne last week that had a piece on that that went out on Substack, and there's also the interview that's up at YouTube as well. But they were trying to do $2 trillion. They wanted $2 trillion in spending. The way that it is right now, they're just looking to cut one. So there's one faction that I think is winning over the more fiscally sensible people. The people who can do math in the Republican Party wanted $2 trillion. The people who can't do math just want $1 trillion cut from overall federal spending. So they're trying to find it, you know, every which way. And then you have three Republicans that don't want to stop funding $500 million a year to Planned Parenthood. And then there's like a little bitty, you know, here things here and there, all special interest stuff for these people. So this is going to be the fight. And so this bill, which I think has taken too damn long, honestly, can I just say, if I'm a Republican and I'm in Congress and I know that I'm going to have a chance to cut spending even in 2 years, I would have had a draft ready to rock. Then I would have had a plan B draft and a plan C draft. So if one was rejected, I would slap the people upside the face, all the people in D.C. with another one. And if they didn't like that, I'd slap them upside the face with another draft and would just relentlessly keep peppering them with this stuff. So it took them too damn long. And I understand that they're all trying to negotiate. You got too many cooks in the kitchen. I mean, do you realize that the way that I understand, we're going to talk about the Social Security stuff. I think the no tax on tips is stupid. I don't know why you're singling out one part of the workforce when everybody deserves relief, especially those of us who paid an absolute A double snakes load in federal taxes every year and get audited every time a damn Democrat's in the White House. No joke, 8 years. Issue there is apparently now you're still going to have to pay taxes on Social Security. That's apparently like not included. So we're going to talk about all of this stuff because I don't want to, I know, but sometimes people kind of groan when we get into the weeds, but there's some like, you know, there's a cups game happening here. And you need to be aware of this, and we're going to talk about it. We're also going to get in, like I said, the latest with the Middle East. In Virginia, there's trouble with the governor's race. It's been now classified as lean Democrat. There is a reason why, and there's a reason, a big red flag for Republicans coming up. If they don't learn how to deal with this, this result right now in polling is going to happen across the country. So we have to discuss all of this as we move forward. And of course, we have Florida man. We're also going to be talking about RFK Jr. and autism coming up later in the program, so you don't want to miss it. I've seen the amazing changes Relief Factor has made for so many people, and I've seen it firsthand through my husband Chris's pain relief from using Relief Factor. Right now, it's easy to give their product a try because Relief Factor makes it pain-free with their three-week quick start for just $19.95. Get rid of pain and start living better. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, it works by supporting your body's response to inflammation. It doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. It's safe to take daily, and in fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Give Relief Factor a try. With their pain-free trial, you can get a three-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. With their pain-free trial, you can get a three-week quick start for only $19.95. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Relief or visit relieffactor.com.
70% of Americans are financially stressed, but 40% of those people are taking multiple days off work to cope with it. If that's your plan, you're doing it wrong.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
New McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's, which means this is your dipping chicken era. Congratulations. New McCrispy strips.
Get to dipping with exclusive deals on your new fave, only in the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first and foremost, the annual inflation rate hit 2.3 in April, less than expected, lowest since 2021, but the housing market is still having some major issues. Again, this is all stuff we need to dive into, but yeah, we're not out of the woods. We're not out of the woods. And depending on what Congress does, we may not ever get out of the woods. California has, this is a new one for me, exploding birds. They have exploding birds. They have an issue with exploding birds in California. Avian mystery. It's Northern California. People say birds are just blowing up. Residents of a neighborhood in a Bay Area community, they said that they found multiple dead birds in their yard. Security camera even recorded one of them. And it fell to its death just right out of the sky. And there was a, yeah, it's wild. So they said that they're doing the necropsies on the dead birds, and they're suggesting foul play. So they think that there's something going on. I don't know. Do I care? I mean, I do to an extent, but it's North Carolina. I mean, they've got needles and feces up there. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? Birds are out there with all that stuff. I mean, come on. How nice of that they waited until Pete Rose was dead before removing his ineligibility, right, from the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, now they're going to make Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson Hall of Fame eligible. Wow. Am I supposed to applaud that? They waited until after the guy was dead. I don't know. Google is going to pay Texas $1.4 billion in a data privacy statement, and the Texas House will spend all of it in a second, completely erasing any gains from that. So just to anticipate that. Coming up, you know Poop Buttigieg is running, right? And he's trying to grow a beard. We'll talk. Stick with us. Of course, we couldn't do it without companies that make it possible. We're capitalists here, and we like Patriot Mobile. It is the only Christian conservative cell phone company in the country. Now, you're going to pay less, but I know that's what you're most concerned about, as anybody would be. You're going to pay less with Patriot Mobile, but also be mindful of how you spend your dollars. People complain about giving money to Netflix or Amazon. You need to realize that with your cell phone service, you are paying more per month towards that and towards the values that whatever company it is you're paying to that they support, more than you would with Netflix or Amazon or anything else. So why not make the switch today? Get nationwide coverage you can trust, because Patriot Mobile operates on all three major networks. You stay connected wherever it is that you go. You also have seamless switching. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. Keep your current number, keep your phone, or upgrade. I mean, it's the choice is yours. It has never been easier to switch. Now is the time to be mindful and make a stand with your dollars. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service using promo code Dana. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Defend freedom with every call and text you make. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
New McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's, which means this is your dipping chicken era. Congratulations. New McCrispy strips.
Get to dipping with exclusive deals on your new fave. Only in the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
New data shows consistent polar ice levels for 20 years. Great news for everyone except the climate alarmists. Democrats in Colorado push new immigration laws to help illegals avoid deportation. And Republicans try to end shady lawmaker stock trading with the Pelosi Act. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs, too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
One, that these cuts are wrong. And two, that these cuts are unpopular. Unfortunately, they might actually care more about the fact that they're unpopular than the fact that they're wrong. Since they're both, this is an opportunity to get their attention. We're all here for this town hall. I can't help but notice that I'm not even elected official or running for anything. I'm here. I can't help but notice a lot of people who are elected officials aren't.
Yeah, he wants
There's
to
a
be.
Reason for that, right?
He wants
they
to be
don't
so
want to have to explain this stuff.
Yeah, he wants to be an elected official. He's running in 2028. Or he's, I think probably what he wants to do is maybe be somebody's, you know, be on somebody's ticket. Maybe, perhaps, that's kind of what, I don't know, I'm guessing. That was Poop Buttigieg with, I don't know what the hell was on his face. What was that, dirt? He needs to wipe his face off. What was that? He's trying to grow a beard because that's the thing to do. He and Beto O'Rourke and John Ossoff, they all come from the same boring, progressive, white dude factory. Like, they come out like on conveyor belts, I think. I don't, where do they make these guys? Because there's so many of them. They have so many of them on the Democrat side. Where do they come from? They're just all the same dude. And he moved up to Michigan because he you know, obviously he wants to run. He couldn't go any further in at all. He couldn't go any further at all in Indiana. So he's going to try, I guess, from there. I don't know. I'm just wondering. But he's just, he's talking, he also was talking about at this town hall thing, Kilmar Abrego Garcia. Audio soundbite one. Listen to this, because he was asked about this at this town hall.
They're saying, like, oh, well, this guy, you know, he's a criminal.
Yeah.
The whole point is that no one person, least of all, no one politician, gets to decide that you're a criminal.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I can't do any more audio.
Who decides?
I need, okay, you know what? You know what? You know what? Who decides that? What? Who decides that? It's the law. The law decides it. The law decides it. And the law said, hey, if you enter into the country, it's actually a statute. If you enter the country illegally, that's illegal. It's like if I were to break into Poot Booty Juice's apartment across from Whole Foods. Actually, he doesn't live there anymore. He probably lives in some modern monstrosity in Michigan. But if I were to break into his house and say, oh, I am an undocumented guest, that would work, right? Yeah, I mean, it's not, the law determines that that's illegal. So it's not someone, there's not like some guy who is like Scrooge McDuck on a throne of gold bullion who's sitting up in the sky going, he thinks that person is a criminal. And just, you know, indiscriminately picking and choosing, you moron, that's the law. I can't, this appeal to emotion is so lame, especially when you look at how they're reacting to like those refugees coming in from South Africa, which, by the way, I have a piece drafted for you. It's a little fiery, so I'm sitting on it. I have a rule where if it's real fiery, I'll sit on it for a little bit and then I'll publish it, because it was one of those where I even like kicked a part of it over to my husband and I was like, is it too a little too much? I don't think it can be enough with this issue. We talked about that yesterday. But I noticed that as it relates to Buttigieg, he didn't say anything. He wasn't discussing that issue. He didn't bring that up. Don Lemon, though, however, audio soundbite 22, this is Democrats now all of a sudden, they don't like immigration and they don't like refugees a lot. Well, how did that happen? Listen to him.
This South African farmer bullshit, which is the most blatantly obvious racist ever. It is blatantly obvious the way that we treat white South Africans, who, by the way, for the most part, and I am generalizing here, some of the wealthiest people are well-to-do people in the country. They speak their language. They own most of the land and the property. And somehow they're being granted a fast track to become Americans while they're trying to cut down on immigration from other countries. You know, you get that from where? From the brown people. Oh my
God. Okay, so we've in the United States, we've been here hundreds of years, right? And somehow we're still smeared by the left as being outsiders. Dutch descendants, their families have been there for over 400 years in South Africa. People who come cross the border here illegally, they're here for 5 seconds. All of a sudden they act like, oh, where's our rights? We know more than you. I am actually, the more I think about it, and I know we talked some about this yesterday, the longer I think of it, the angrier that it makes me. You know, these refugees, and we talked about the violence, et cetera. And again, I have a piece coming out later today about this. They fled literal actual genocide, and you had tens of them that showed up at the airport waving their flags. They did the right thing. They filed for refugee status while in their country of origin, and they received permission to enter legally based on the very real and very, very visible threat of genocide. I mean, they hunt down entire families, children included, and they brutally execute them. There was a story of some children who were very, very young who got first front row seats watching their parents get hacked to death because they're white. And you have like these historically illiterate DEI hires, you know, on MSNBC and then Don Lemon. They think that these, like, again, they've been there for 400 plus years and they think they should like go back to Germany or whatever. Unlike the MS-13 gangbangers who, you know, have never lived in the United States that come here and all of a sudden they're more valuable than the citizens. So it's they finally, I mean, it's all about race for these people. It's all about race for the left. This isn't about, it's not about people and it's not about immigration and it's not about refugees. It's about how can we bitch more and try to make ourselves victims more. That's all it is. That's all it is. Can I just say a note too? Because one of the piece that I have coming out, one of the reasons it's so fiery is I cannot stand the Episcopal Church. I can't stand it. I think it's a cult. Quote me. It is. Anybody that sits here and decides to ordain trans priests and celebrate abortion the way they do, I mean, it's actually, they've had entire votes on it. It is their church. It's not an offshoot. They ordain trans priests. They reject biblically defined marriage. They wholeheartedly support abortion. They wholeheartedly support lawlessness and disorder. And they think that accepting tens of people who are fleeing racial genocide is a bridge too far for their supposed Christian charity. Because they ended that federal program the other day. And they announced it this week. Except it doesn't wind down until September. They get federal tax dollars. They got federal tax dollars to resettle people who are entering here illegally. You know, all of the discussion about these NGOs and all of these religious organizations that were supposedly helping settle illegal immigrants, like, for instance, Catholic Charities and some of these others. I've been down at the border and I've seen it in action. So I don't need anybody to try to gaslight me what I've been down there to see with my own damn eyes. I mean, it is a racket. They're getting millions and millions of government dollars, our taxpayer dollars. The Episcopal Church was getting our taxpayer dollars in the forms of federal grants so that they could assist these people who are coming into the country, the deluge at the border illegally. And they act like, oh, we're helping everyone. You're not, though. You're pretending to help everyone when, in fact, you're actually facilitating criminality. And if you really wanted to help people, you would have been calling for stronger border controls from the get-go. If you really wanted to help people, you would have been doing a hell of a lot more here to make sure that there wasn't an incentivized, you know, program where people were coming over the border and then they could just, you know, stay here, work here and never actually have to be part of the system. So this fake church, they blasted the administration. They don't want to have to include the South African refugees because the Episcopal Church is a racist cult full of trans priests and a rejection of actual godly doctrine. It is. Get mad. It is. And they don't deserve enough criticism. Wolves in sheep's clothing. They're the kind of people that have the millstone yanked around their neck and thrown in the depths of the sea, according to the Bible. So they halted it and they had their head of their Episcopal Church send out all of these letters and, oh, we're not going to do this anymore. It's so mean. They had a steadfast commitment to fighting apartheid and racial justice and reconciliation. And we can't take this step. You know, we're going to conclude our resettlement grant agreements. I think that they should be sent an IOU. I want my money back. Why in the hell are taxpayer dollars going to this Kool-Aid cult that pretends to be shepherds? Why? Anybody have an idea? My husband was cautioning me. He goes, you know, you maybe shouldn't be that harsh. You don't want to alienate people. I want to alienate you if that's your doctrine, because you need Jesus. And maybe that wake-up call comes in the form of my caustic words on the matter. I did eliminate the part of the program where I called Marion Bood a sentient cankle. So I was trying to be a good person with that. But this is the problem. I mean, how is that helping anything? And then combine that with the media reaction to this and the words. I mean, the historical illiteracy is insane. One of the reasons that we all know this, and Kane, I don't know, do you remember like back, it was like in the late 80s and 90s, I just remember with MTV, somehow this like came up on all of that. And there was like this pop culture PR campaign to familiarize people with either what Nelson Mandela was doing or the Anglican Church down there and apartheid. And that's how we all know this stuff, because we grew up. Am I crazy? Because that's, I swear to you, that's how it was.
Nope. Yeah, as a matter of fact, none of the news ever even talked about it because it was such a deep, you may have seen it on like a 60 Minutes type program, but it was such a long form, deep story. You never really saw it until the pop culture started bringing attention to it.
Exactly. So we knew about all of this. And to see people go, well, why don't they go back to Germany? Like that bra that was on MSNBC the other day. They've been there for over 400 years. You clown turd. They've been there for over 400 years. What are you talking about? But they had a development on this. So the their government, and so their ruling party is the African National Congress. They called all the white farmers leaving cowards. And this is what they said in their official letter that you'll get later today here, actually shortly, if you're a subscriber at Substack. Quote, what the instigators of seek is not safety, but impunity from transformation. They flee not from persecution, but from justice, equality, accountability for historic privilege. Now, remember, they everything from water to even trade, your farm's ability to sell products and trade is determined by race. There are racial quotas. So even if you have a farm there, it doesn't matter how long you've had it or how long it's been in your family. But you're only, if you're white, you're only allowed to trade so much or sell so much of your yield, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're only allowed to water so much based on race. I mean, it is so absolutely insane. And here you have this church entity that is willing to look the other way because of race. The Episcopal Church is everything that they claim to want to fight. We need another Henry VIII with them. Now, that said, I told you it was fiery. There's a lot more where that came from. Just it's I don't like false shepherds. But the I am just fascinated with this. But they said, yes, you know, we're not going to help these refugees fleeing. It's against what we stand for. I thought that, you know, your good Christian charity was extending to all those who are in need. I don't know. The other thing that we have to get into, James Carville is begging Democrats, please ditch these words. Stop using these words. You guys sound like loons. And now the party is angry at him. Now there's people are starting to hit back at him, calling him a grifter and all this stuff. I can't believe that they're trying to make me defend somebody. This is crazy. So we've got this. We have Days of These United States. And the latest with those Democrats that attacked ICE agents at that detention facility. Our partners, All Family Pharmacy, they can help you out with all the medications that you need. With All Family Pharmacy, it's all about convenience. And you can take control with up to a one-year supply of essential medications. Things like your blood pressure meds, your cholesterol, your diabetes treatments. So you don't have to worry about last-minute pharmacy runs and stay ahead of your health. It's all affordable. I mean, you can get it shipped fast. It's affordable, no insurance, no problem. They have straightforward pricing, online ordering. Shipping is just like 2 to 4 days, but if you need it overnight in a pinch, your health is always within reach. They'll make it happen. And it's all made right here in the U.S. of A. Your medicines are manufactured right here in America. You don't have to worry about inputs or precursors from China. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana for 10% off. Use promo code Dana10. Don't wait. Be prepared. Protect yourself and your family today. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast. We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope. Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to The Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I'm going to listen. I don't have to. I have a right to speak truth. Boys are boys. Girls are girls. This country does not belong competing against those girls, period. What a coward of a woman you are allowing that.
What a coward of a woman you are
telling our women, telling girls to to go and compete against a boy? How embarrassing. You're a mother. You're a mother. Stand up like a mother. I am a mother. I'm protecting girls. You want a boy. How many people support the boy competing against the girls? Nobody. Don't tell me to shut up. I was respectful to you. Okay. I'm not going to do
that.
Of course not.
You're the one that beat
a girl. So the chonky lady, her son is running in a girl's track meet because apparently she's not woman enough to raise a boy. And I really think that that's what a lot of these trans issues are. The mothers are blanked up. They're attention whores. Get mad. Again, I hope to alienate. Let's be honest about it. If you're raising a boy and you're raising them as a girl, maybe someone else should raise your kids. It's a problem. And that's all that's happening with this. And that woman, by the way, she was the one who was approached. It wasn't the other way around. The lady of the boy, of the male, high school male, who was running in the girls' track race there in at the meet, was the one who went up to that woman. And that woman responded back. That's it. And then the lunchbox wants to act like she's being victimized. No, you're a rotten, horrible mother. She's like, you need to care about kids. What do you mean care about kids? You're abusing your son. You're emotionally abusing your son by raising him as a girl and allowing him to embarrass himself like this. And also, you're abusing the other female children by demanding that they step aside because apparently the world is your son's stage and everybody else has to accommodate. It's abusive. It is absolutely abusive. And then to try to get into another mother's face about it? No, hell no, lunchbox. That's not how that works. Not how it works at all. I am so glad that we did not have to deal with any of those issues because Katie barred the door. I don't know. I love that lady who stood in between them because she was on the girl's side. And she stood right in between because that lunchbox kept stepping to her. Like she was trying to intimidate her. Maybe that works in your house when you're abusing your kid, but it doesn't work out, you know, in meat space with everybody else and other adults. But no, this insistence that your abuse of children means you're defending kids, that's like what an abuser would say. That's like the kind of, you know, mind job an abuser would say. We have a lot more on the way here. We are rolling towards hour two. Very hot Texas today. Stick with us. Gold Co. is making it easy to take that first step toward protecting your savings. Just fill out a quick form, no commitment, just free information. And then they'll ship you your free 2025 gold and silver kit straight to your door. No shipping fees, no strings, just a free info kit to help you understand how gold and silver can fit into your financial plan. I'm a big believer in doing your research, and this kit is a great place to start. So I'm really excited to be partnering with Gold Co. because not only do they support my show, which I truly appreciate, but they've made the whole process of buying precious metals super straightforward. Because if you're a fan of the show, Gold Co. is also going to tell you how to qualify for unlimited free bonus silver on eligible orders. If you qualify, you can even get a free half-ounce silver Ronald Reagan coin, totally free. Don't wait. Take that first step towards protecting and diversifying your savings with Gold Co. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Did you really not have any idea that he was not fit to serve a second term?
Casey, we're looking forward. We have the largest Medicaid cut in front of us. We have the whole federal government
at risk.
You're
facing all of this because you lost a presidential election. And is that not Joe Biden's responsibility for deciding to run again?
We're looking forward.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow. No, they don't want to answer questions. I can't wait for the press to go apoplectic because Democrats aren't... the press people, like, don't try to make your names now by pretending to be journalists. You missed that boat. That boat sailed. It's gone. It's not in the harbor anymore. It's away from the dock. There's no reclaiming it. The idea that people didn't know is one of the dumbest things ever. I guess they think everyone's stupid enough to believe it. It is amazing to me. It's actually a medical marvel, really. How many people suddenly realized that Joe Biden had issues? They took a new medicine. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's called getting a book deal. And like Jake Tapper is taking getting a book deal. And a lot of these people that were in the Biden administration, they all took got a book deal. And
how do I find out if got a book deal is right for me?
Ask your doctor if Got a Book Deal is right for you. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash. Top of the second hour. Listen across the country. The stream is at channel 347 DirecTV. The chat's at Rumble, though. All that good stuff. Yeah, it's called Got a Book Deal. It's an amazing, like, modern marvel of medicine wherein you're able to see that someone is barely, like, functioning, like, barely cognitively there. It's wild. Like, they didn't know before. Apparently, no one else knew. I love how the press is like, you need us to tell you these things. I saw him fall up the stairs. I saw him forget where he was and not be able to speak and have somebody in an Easter Bunny costume redirect him back to the White House lawn. Saw these things. The press did too. And then they said it was cheap fakes when we would post the video of it. Oh, those are cheap fakes. They're very expensive real video, sir. Thank you. It's not a cheap fake. It's a very expensive real video. But they were insistent that, oh, no, you are all wrong. You're all so wrong. And I don't know. They were all part of the problem. Audio soundbite 11. So Jake Tapper is, you know, he's probably not a client who got a book deal. He's the president of the company. Just, this is what I'm talking about. Here's a little montage. Just take a little look-see.
How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
It's very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay.
That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
This is so amazing. It's so amazing to me
and try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
President Biden embraces his stutter, talking about it, while Trump mocks it, exaggerates it, belittles it. He's sharp physically. I mean, mentally.
Yeah.
I think the question is physically, right?
Right.
More so?
Right.
Right. And the guy who's his chief opponent is only three or four years younger than him.
Exactly.
I mean, you have questioned President Biden's age, mental fitness, ability to lead. Of those supporting Biden, you said, quote, shame on all of you pretending everything is okay. You're leading us and him into a disaster. Do you worry that you damaged him at all? I don't doubt that you got hugs and mm-hmm. and handshakes behind closed doors today, and maybe even publicly some of them because they like you personally. But I've heard a lot of really nasty stuff about you from your Democratic colleagues.
Sure.
We have like 2 minutes
what
of
is
just
he thinking?
Supercuts. Little kids with stutters. How dare you point out that the president literally has no idea where he is? How do you think little kids with stutters feel about that? What? Yes, little kids with stutters. How dare you bring up the question of the Coke in the White House with baby infant Hunter Biden? What about all those children with scoliosis out there? How do you think they feel about that? What does that have to do? Shut up. Why do you hate stuttering children with scoliosis? I mean, it just like, just keep checking them boxes. You know what I mean?
And then one short year later.
Oh, I know. I like here. Steve has this flashback from NBC. Republicans float a quiet conspiracy theory. Shh, okay, full stop. It wasn't quiet. They float a quiet conspiracy theory that Biden won't be on the ballot. And they talk about his health and his cognitive ability. Oh, my gosh. They just, I tell you what. Oh, my gosh. His stutter. Poor Joe Biden's stutter. Poor America. Like, no, come on. But now, oh, man, audio soundbite 12. Now it's all different. What cheap fakes? What do you mean cheap fakes? Listen to this now. Woo.
Well, Obama's side of that story is he wasn't sure what was going on, but he just wanted to get out of there. And he wasn't going to get out of there without Biden. So he grabbed him, and it was more just his impatience than anything else. But other people who were there.
See, this is
we
the part where
the
he
Biden
starts
White House
to come
falsely
around. Well, you know, he really wanted to get off the stage. He probably had to pee or something. I don't know. But it looked, I mean, clearly he was very nervous and about getting off the stage. And he didn't want to leave without his best friend, Joe Biden. Because, you know, they go everywhere together. Right, 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 right. They go everywhere together. I mean, the lies. And now they got books on it. Now they have books on it. It is amazing. Audio soundbite 15. Wait, did we play? We haven't played 15 yet. Or was that the one we played? Is this a different MSNBC one?
I think it is. Actually.
Okay, yeah. This is. They all are stunned.
Yes,
I mean, these reporters, everybody, they're stunned. What? Watch.
Hand was up.
You said in June of last year, in my meetings with President Biden, I found him to be in command and impressive and wielding influence to make progress on key priorities. But in that same month, Biden apparently did not even recognize George Clooney at a fundraiser. Were you being straight with the American public?
Look, we're just looking forward.
We're just looking forward. Well, what about how you guys all lied and you hid the fact that Biden was in a severe cognitive decline? We're looking forward. No, no, no. We need to ask this question about this. It's all about looking forward. Looking forward, would you hide another decline in cognitive ability from a president of your party, sir? That's a question I would have asked. I'd have been like, well, okay, all right, Senator Schumer, looking forward. Would you totally lie your beans off about, you know, the cognitive decline of the president of your party? Would you lie again and hide that from the American people? You know, looking forward. Nobody asked that question because the press is still kind of scared of Democrats. This is why I don't like anybody getting cozy with the government. And this includes Republicans. Democrat press, they fall all over themselves to ingratiate themselves with the Democrat Party. You've seen it, right? To the point where they won't even, I mean, the guy fell up the stairs and, you know, forgot that, he tried to find a guy who was dead in the audience at one point. I mean, there's no shortage of stories. You guys were there. And they pretended that, oh no, nothing to see here. Totally normal. Totally normal things happening here with Joe Biden. Totally normal. It's asinine. It's like, yeah, like Kane says, like you get pulled over for speeding. No, no, no. I'm looking forward. You just keep looking backwards. Can you use that excuse for anything, really, though? Yes, I mean, no, I'm looking forward.
It really absolves you from any accountability.
Why did you club that baby seal to death, sir? Well, we're looking forward now.
We're looking backwards.
Yeah,
we're
stop living in the past and being negative and divisive. Well, my whole point is that the Democrat press, they're terrified of burning that access to power. So that's why they covered and looked the other way. Wait, they're pretending that they don't know? Okay, we will too. They had no idea. They want you to believe they had no idea. I don't want the right to be like that and be so ingratiated with government. You know, I had somebody bragging to me one time that they went to a cocktail party with some government thing. And I'm like, you're bragging about hanging out with the government. Like back in the days of our founders, we'd probably burn you at the stake. That's like worse than being a witch. Like what are you talking about here? But they're never going to recover any esteem. Not that they had a lot anyway, but they're never going to recover any respect that the American people would have for them. Not after this. There's not at all. Not after this. Not after this. I don't know. I had somebody remark Tapper acts like he bought a ticket to the concert when he was actually a member of the band. That's exactly it. That's a great way to put it. That's an absolutely great way to put it. Goodness. Yes, when did you know? Oh, and then Chuck Todd on Schumer. Remember, he was also part of this. And now they're trying to really ratchet up their angst because they think if they act outraged and if they pretend that you don't know where they were these past 4 years, that they're going to be able to redeem themselves and still be relevant. This is audio somebody at 16.
It's Chuck Todd. Go.
He is among the people that are responsible for this. The leaders of the Democratic Party, the staff of the White House.
Why do you say
and I have to say,
forward?
I find everybody
okay,
now
can we
talking
freeze
to
frame
these authors.
His hair? I am not. I know I was going to talk about his response, but what in the world is happening with that hairline? This is very important news. What is happening here? We just comb it forward now like that?
Maybe it was a flowbee.
You know, the only people who have haircuts like that are the British kids in the projects, right? That's, you know what I mean, mate? It's that hair. It's that haircut. Anyway, I had to say it. Somebody had to. He's pretending that he's so upset, like he's part of the problem. You were all there. We're all there. It's like now they're trying to throw on red hats and be like, no, wait, we were here the whole time. No, you weren't. You guys were calling us names and saying that we were conspiracy theorists and the whole nine yards. You guys did all of that. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? No, they were there. They were there. They were involved in all of it. So I don't know. I don't think that they're going to, no, this is, audio somebody 10. Kevin O'Leary hit it. I thought this was a great statement. Listen.
of health. It's that simple. If you seek the supreme office, the leader of the free world, you give up the right for privacy with your doctor on a cognitive health test. This poor man was broken. And look at what happened to the country, and look at how he's being beaten up. It's almost immoral what we're doing to him now, to sell books. I was there at the White House dinner watching this. The same reporters who didn't report on him are profiting from his decline.
Which dinner?
It's outrageous what they're doing.
Which dinner, by the way?
Well, of course they are, because information is a product. How it's delivered is another product. And that's one of the things that I hope everybody realizes. There is no pure news anymore. There hasn't really ever been, especially if you understand the origin of the press in our country. There's never been pure press. And there's never been a more odious attempt to, I think, make money off of news gathering than right now. It's always been a propaganda battle, always, ever. But now they're wanting to merch it out in a million different ways. We're going to cover for it and make money. Then we're going to act surprised and make money. And then we're going to write books about it and act like we uncovered and got the scoop of all the people who knew. I don't believe in regular, I don't believe in like that journalism. There is such a thing as the pure practice of it. I think there are some people that prioritize news gathering and giving information to the people more than they like to worship at the altar of their vanity. But there's never been just like pure news gathering. There never will be. That has been a lie that has been perpetuated for years in this country as a way to sort of sanctify the press. And the reality is that there, in some instances, like prostitution sometimes is a more honest trade at this point. When a woman faces an unplanned pregnancy, she's scared, pressured, and often told her baby isn't alive. Preborn exists to change that by loving her and giving her the choice of life. Meet Briella. She was ready to take the abortion pill, but when it didn't arrive, she went to a pregnancy clinic instead. There, she received a free ultrasound, provided by Preborn. Her eternal moment happened as her baby waved on screen. She knew then this was the baby boy she had prayed for. This may help Preborn bring life to babies and mothers. Just one ultrasound, only $28, can double a baby's chance at life. Five ultrasounds is $140. Their goal right now on The Dana Show is to sponsor 1,000 ultrasounds this month. Help them get to their goal. They're making progress, but they still need your help. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. It's super easy. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/Dana. That's preborn.com/Dana. Every penny goes to loving mothers and saving babies.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Really don't think there's anything better than a Simple Minds bumper track of New Gold Dream. Really don't think so. All right, so Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. Everybody's very excited about this. I rarely go to the theaters anymore, but I am going to go see this. The first one was phenomenal. Well, the last one that they did. The storyline, AI, warfare, was phenomenal. But he apparently hangs from a helicopter in one of the stunts. I watched some video online. That's just absolutely insane. So this is the eighth film. It's called The Final Reckoning. And they're really, Paramount, which I think owns the game right now, they got a lot riding on this. So they said that it's been about $400 million and they've had production delays, mostly due to the 23 strikes. It's going to be one of the most expensive films ever made. The seventh one was phenomenal. So I think this will be really good too. We'll see. So it's not just a feeling. Data is showing that also boys and young men, per the New York Times, are falling behind. Educational achievement, mental health, transitions to adulthood indicate that many are not thriving. Well, that's just what feminists wanted, wasn't it? Wasn't that what third and fourth wave feminists wanted? They didn't want equality. They wanted to destroy men so they could give themselves something to bitch about later, so that they could always play weak, ineffectual victims. That's all they ever wanted to be. It's sad because they said now there's enough data to show that, everything from school to even perceptions in society, like toxic masculinity, everything is designed to basically be abusive to boys. Education, hiring, you have like now women are outpacing men in top positions in major cities. Of recent male high school graduates, 57% are enrolled in college, barely up from 54, but now it's 66 with women, which has doubled in recent years. I mean, that's just the way it is. Mental health, harder for boys than it is for girls lately. So this is a real thing, and I think people need to get a handle on it. Also, your brain is shrinking even if you exercise regularly, if you sit too much. Interesting. So get up if you don't want to be stupid. Maybe that's kind of what it is. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Home Title Lock. It's your greatest asset. It is your biggest asset that you have. Is it protected? That's the thing. I mean, you have alarm systems on your car and your home. I mean, well, you lock your doors, but do you really ever protect your title? And in today's AI and cyber world, it's actually super easy to do. It's becoming easier by the minute. People can forge your signature on a document. They can use a fake notary stamp, pay a small fee with your county. And then the next thing you know, your home title has been transferred out of your name. And most people don't even know that it happened until they start getting the collection calls and the foreclosure notices. And then they have to hire an attorney to prove that their home is still theirs. You don't want to wait until it's so late that you're thousands and thousands of dollars in debt just trying to protect what you own outright anyway. You need to protect your most valuable asset, and you can do it with Home Title Lock. You can get a free title history report and a 14-day trial of their $1 million triple lock protection using promo code Dana at HometitleLock.com. So the first thing to do is check and make sure that your title is still in your name. You can do that with that free title history report, that 14-day trial of $1 million triple lock protection. That's going to give you insight into the 24/7 monitoring of your title, the urgent alerts to any changes, and if they find fraud, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. Visit HometitleLock.com today and use promo code Dana.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How did you find the Syrian president?
Right. I think very good. Young, attractive guy, tough guy. You know, strong pass. Very strong pass fighter. But he's got a real shot at pulling it together.
So POTUS, as you know, he's over in the Middle East. He's in Qatar today. He was in Saudi Arabia yesterday, and he met the Syrian president in Qatar. And very interesting. You heard what he was saying about him there. Welcome back, Dana Lash, with you. We're at the bottom of the second hour. So this meeting, I think they'd also said that what it was the first time that a sitting American president visited Qatar, and they rolled out. They had the little jet escort as well. They had the rollout. I don't think it was like the Saudis though, because the Saudis had that mobile McDonald's.
It was still pretty impressive though. This took place at nighttime, and the way they had the whole path lighted up.
Yeah, go ahead. What is this?
The horses and the whole nine.
Yeah. Okay, that was fancy.
Yeah, that's something up. Yeah, Juan's putting that up on the screen here in a second.
But still,
that's the slow roll. Right there.
The slow roll. You have the beast. What is it? Yeah, rolling through. And a very interesting meeting. I don't know. A lot of people are saying that this new leader of Syria is somehow different. I mean, he's a jihadi though, right? I mean, it was just one, you had two factions of jihadis that were fighting for control. So I don't know. I mean, I understand that, you know, there's got to be stuff done and they're trying to make deals and all of this, but I don't know. He's one of the Turkish-backed, been called a marauder, but we'll see. It's just weird. It's a weird dance that he's got to do going over there. But it was, you know, they're jihadis. And they had all of these terrorists that were operating across Iraq, Syria, Somalia. Time is going to tell whether or not anything calms down, but I don't know. I guess they said that he's a little bit more neutral than some of the other jihadis. We'll see. But the Assads are out. They fled to Russia. So we'll see. He had announced yesterday that he's ordering a cessation of sanctions against Syria in order to give them a chance at greatness. And while he was giving these remarks, and this was at the Saudi U.S. Investment Forum, MBS was applauding. And he actually even, I think it stood up at one point to applaud that. He got a standing ovation. So, interesting. So they had celebrations around Syria after they announced the end. I mean, I don't even know how that's going to impact them. They had most of the people there live in poverty at this point. But interesting. A lot of people were saying that it was a shift in the narrative from being how the United States was always looked at as an interventionist, whereas now it looks like more of a peace broker. And I think that Marco Rubio has a lot of hand in that as well. But he's meeting in a number of leaders. He met several other Middle Eastern leaders in Riyadh, met others in Qatar. The talks are ongoing, and then we'll find out what, if anything, has been determined about Gaza. But very, very interesting. I mean, he's talking about helping the Syrians have a possibility of greatness, is what he had said. I still don't want the plane. I really don't want the plane, though. I think that's just a bad look. And I think, it's a bad look. But we'll see how this goes. I mean, it may be a little 4D chess. Syria has always been kind of a puppet for Iran for a very long time. Not just for Iran, really. I mean, ultimately for Russia and Iran. And they worked with Hezbollah. And now if they are going to be removed from that and they're not going to be supplying Hezbollah, that really does kind of put Iran more in a box. And I think that the entire Middle East will see some stabilization from that. So you have Saudi pressure on Syria because they helped facilitate this meeting. And they don't want to be embarrassed and they don't want it to look like a failure. And I don't think if they started getting jihadist again over in Syria, I don't know, we'll see. But it's a very interesting game of statesmanship that's taking place over there. Very interesting game of statesmanship. But I don't know, maybe he can make it a functioning country again. We don't know. And not by investment, not by, nation building. But maybe perhaps in this way. It does look like the Saudis have really kind of stepped up in this regard, which, they should. We've always been asking, where's the Arab League in dealing with us? Must it always be the United States? So they had MBS, they had the Syrian president, al-Shara, and Erdogan of Turkey. He was on the phone, but they all had photos together. So they're apparently looking to sign the peace deal with Israel, stopping any kind of backing or facilitation with anything with Hezbollah. Boot the Iranian guard. That's pretty significant, I think. And that's one of the things that POTUS has encouraged Syrian president to do. All foreign terrorists have to leave Syria. Any of the Gazan terrorists have to go. They must work with the U.S. to prevent the resurgence of ISIS, sign on to the Abraham Accords, and assume responsibility for all ISIS detention centers in northeast Syria. That's a pretty big start. I mean, can you actually, though, fully divorce the people who came to power basically through jihadism in Syria from jihadism? That's going to be the big question. And I think by meeting with him, I think it was something, I don't think that the president walked into that meeting lightly. I think it was something that the Saudis were really, really working on. And that was, it also makes the Saudis kind of like the de facto players with the United States in terms of stabilizing the arena, whereas everything has just been so volatile with Iran, with Hezbollah, with Russia getting involved. It also kind of sidelines Russia as well a little bit, because now you have the Assad's out. Russia doesn't have a puppet there in the Middle East. And if you have a very close relationship with the United States and the Saudis, and the Saudis are facilitating a closer relationship with Qatar, and I understand, I get all the terror, but this is the world we live in, and you have to find some way to operate in it for the security of the nation. And with Syria, that's going to be, that's a big thing indeed. So we're going to see how this pans out. Also, let's see, we've got a couple of other things. We were talking a little bit about 2028. Where's this story at that I just pulled up? Here it is. So did I don't know if we have audio of that. I don't know if I sent audio of this in. Gavin Newsom now wants to stop enrolling immigrants who entered illegally into a state-funded health care program that was supposed to start, apparently. This comes by way of the Associated Press. It was supposed to start, I think, next year. And now he's against it. They want to stop the enrollment of illegal immigrants into the state-funded health program and charging people already enrolled a monthly premium for the following year. What? What? Now, this, they have a huge price tag on this in California. California is broke. They're broke. And I think what a lot of what is happening here is Gavin Newsom is trying to save his backside. And I think he's because he's blaming the tariff policies for the shortfalls for their, I know they have a, they used to have a surplus of billions. It's Kane. Gavin Newsom is blaming the tariffs for California's shortfalls.
What? His tariffs?
Yeah. Trump's tariffs. You know, they were having this problem in California long before Trump was even back in office. Guys, like, way. I mean, they've been in effect. They came into effect 6 weeks ago, but they haven't even been in effect for 6 weeks because there has been pauses for negotiations. So I don't even know how that they're blaming Trump's tariffs for the billions of dollars in a budget shortfall. That doesn't make any sense. They've been, this precedes Trump being in office. I mean, but you know what? This is weird because it's pushing him. He's not having a come to Jesus moment. He's not changing his spot. He realizes that has to put space between this failure and him, give some kind of plausible deniability. He wants to run for president, and he has to go. I've been talking about this. I think I've been the first to actually talk about him as a serious candidate. I've been saying that it's going to do it for years. He's going to do it for years. And he's like the homeless encampments. Now with this, he's desperately, desperately trying to reinvent himself and stake that flag in the middle. Of course, you knew this. Anybody that's been paying attention knows this. And he also now considers like male encroachment on female spaces. He thinks that's just not fair. He's really trying to run to the center on all of this. You know what the crazy thing is? I was talking to a friend of mine who lives in LA, and she was saying, well, you know, people out here will suddenly like him because he doesn't have dementia. Like, they'll look back at their other guy, Joe Biden. Oh, gosh, it's so bad. Well, you know, yeah, Newsom's got his problems, but at least his brain's all there. That's how they're... Oh, boy. Your body is a powerhouse. It heals, it builds, it keeps you moving. But as you age, those natural processes slow down. And that's where Ancient Nutrition's collagen comes in. It's like backup power for your body. It helps you stay strong, radiant, and ready for anything. Ancient Nutrition blends ancient wisdom with modern science to create high-quality supplements. And their multi-collagen advanced lean features 10 types of collagen from real food-based sources. It's powered by clinically studied ingredients that support fat loss, healthy weight management, and lean muscle building. You'll love it because it can reduce your joint discomfort, boost your skin, your hair, and nails, and plus, you'll love how it tastes and how easily it fits into your daily routine. Collagen is real and it works, and Ancient Nutrition's Multi-Collagen Advanced Lean has you covered. Look and feel your best starting today. Right now, Ancient Nutrition is offering you 25% off your first order. Just visit ancientnutrition.com/Dana, promo code Dana. That's ancientnutrition.com/Dana, code Dana for 25% off your first order.
Could Luigi Mangione's killing of the United Healthcare CEO lead to anarchy in America? Pastor Alan Jackson says yes.
But he shot this insurance executive. And I mean, there's this whole host of people trying to justify it because their insurance got canceled. Therefore, it's okay to go assassinate some insurance worker. That is teetering on anarchy.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity and Alan Jackson podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So this Florida man, they got into a fight at a school drop-off. This was in Boca Raton. This is like the most privileged thing I've ever heard of. A dad allegedly punched by a BMW driver at a Boca Raton school drop-off line. Yeah, it got crazy. Now, when I first saw the headline, I saw a headline that said a parent had been punched, and I immediately thought it was women. Because, men, I don't know if you all know what y'all's wives get up to in the drop-off line at school, but some of y'all's wives need driving lessons and attitude adjustments. Oh my gosh, get your women in check. I have seen, when I used to do school drop-off, oh my gosh, I watched women honk at each other. It was a Christian school. They'd honk at each other. They were not playing. Men, so I was actually surprised that this was two dudes, in full honesty. So this was Monday morning that a father got punched by an irate driver. Palm Beach County Sheriff had to respond. They said that they responded to a report of battery at Waters Edge Elementary School. When deputies arrived, the victim was dropping off his kid. A BMW cut in front of him. The victim honked his horn because I guess he was getting ready to drive and the guy cut in front of him. In an attempt to talk to the BMW driver, later identified as Kareem Muhammad, the victim pulled his car alongside the BMW. He drove in front of it, and then Muhammad got out of his vehicle and began like throwing punches, approached the victim's car and began throwing punches. Sorry, sir, this is not Gaza. You needed to calm down. Anyway, he ended up getting arrested. He was totally arrested. They had to track him down through his license plate. The school crossing guard had to take a photo because the guy fled the scene. So now he's been accused of burglary with assault or battery and damaging property of over 200 but under 1,000. Like, just chill. Just chill in the carpool line. Just calm yourself. We could do a whole show on that. Let's see. A Florida man goes on a cashing out spree, smashing and raiding cash registers in a Walmart store in what has been described as the worst robbery technique ever. Broad daylight. It's a viral clip that started on Reddit, and a guy smashes all these cash registers to pieces and stealing all the money inside of it and then leaving. He stuffed money into the pocket, into all of his pockets, and he walked to another payment point, smashed it up until it opened, took out the money. And he did this on like a number of other drawers. I mean, he was there for a long time doing this. I'm not quite sure like how this is allowed to go on that long without any kind of like security or anything. That was stunning to me. He had like no money, and he went from register to register asking for change for a $100 without presenting the money. And then he went wild when they said, well, you need to give us the $100 to make change. And then he went crazy. He destroyed 10 registers and took money out of 10 registers. Police finally arrived on the scene as he was leaving. He tried to evade, but it was tased. That's like, how long does that happen? It was like a while. That's like a long video. It was a very long time that this was happening. So I don't know. Tomorrow I'll tell you about the gator that has a chair stuck on its head. Third hour on the way. Stick with us. As we move, our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Burn-A-Gun. I always am going to carry. I have zero issue whatsoever when I'm carrying, and I have no problems using a bunch of lead to defend myself or my loved ones if somebody decides to FA and FO. So the thing with Burn-A-Gun is you're not always allowed to carry, which is insane to say here in these United States, but you have municipal restrictions and private property restrictions, and sometimes you're just left to the wolves and you want to make sure that you're protected, and this is where the Burn-A-Gun comes in. Now, they have rifles and all kinds of stuff, but for this purpose, I need you to disregard that and only focus on the SD and the CL. The SD is their most popular model. The CL, brand new, they just launched it this past month. It's the compact launcher. It's the weensiest little cutie thing, and it's similarly sized to my 43X. It's about the length of a cell phone, just a little under 7 inches long. But it's, you know, all made in the USA, and just with the rest of Burn-A's operations, it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. And you have really easy target acquisition because you have zero recoil. It's legal in all 50 states. So here's the thing. The Burn-A-Gun is basically like the it's similar to a middle finger to gun-free zone signs. It's pretty much what it is. Doesn't care about the stupid gun-free zone signs. It's legal in all 50 states. You can have it sent right to your door. There's no background check, no waiting period. And for college kids, especially those under 21 but old enough to live on them by themselves, this is a really good, diverse item to have in your weapons array. And you want to diversify that. You have blades, you have different calibers, why not a Byrna gun? Visit Byrna.com/Dana and you can make sure that you check out all of the options, check out all the accessories, etc. BYRNA.com/Dana. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the top of this third hour here. And Channel 347 is the stream. The chat's at Rumble. I got to tell you, I was laughing at this stupid headline a little bit ago. From NBC News. NBC News is tracking changes in the prices of eggs and bread and ground beef, chicken, and other grocery items to monitor the impact on consumers' food bills. Oh my gosh, they started. It's weird. Now that Biden's not in the White House, now that a Democrat's not in the White House, now they want to track this stuff. Now, they had told you before, when everyone was like, gee, why are the eggs so expensive? They were all, no, they're not. You're stupid. They're not expensive. They're just totally fine. You're saving 13 cents on your hot dogs on 4th of July. And now they're like, well, let's look at the price of these things. Now they want to do some journalisming, Kane, is what they want to do.
Yeah.
I really feel like they, you know, this is something that y'all, where was this during, by the way, why didn't they do this when Biden was in the White House? Why weren't they tracking any of this? When eggs were going through the roof, where was this concern about the effect on consumer prices? Biden was in the White House for 4 years. Did they just now sit around and go, wait, you know what? Let's track these prices. Kane, you made a good point.
Yeah, it's funny. They're using data because, mind you, there's quarterly. We get data quarterly.
Yeah.
So we're talking Trump's first 100 days, that's a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still actually hung over from data and very weak data on that drag from the last administration.
So what you're telling me is that this price drag is still left over from the Biden administration.
Yeah, large part of it. Yeah, absolutely. Because energy plays a huge part in how these groceries and other items get to our stores.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. It's I wonder if only we had like an entity or like people who did jobs that were about writing the things the government was doing.
Yeah.
Right? That would be so, I think, beneficial to have that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was looking at the House Ways and Means thingy. I don't know if you saw that, their little fact sheet that they put out where they're talking about the one big beautiful bill. I don't, and again, I know it's a draft, but why are people paying taxes on Social Security? And also I'm hearing that the top tax rate, there's not going to be any kind of tax cut for the majority of Americans who pay into taxes, which I'm not happy about at all. If taxes are raised or if they are not cut, no, go to hell. All of the Republicans in D.C. don't care. Don't care. So they said, I just think, first off, abolish the IRS and get rid of the income tax. Just, if you're going to go all the way. Don't half-ass it, right? Don't do this tepid little lukewarm stuff. So I see the no tax on tips. I've never liked this idea because I think you shouldn't single out one particular worker class. I think it should be everybody. You know, no tax on tips. Okay, so if you're a server and you're pulling in 50K, why should you not have to pay taxes, but an educator who maybe pulls in 70 has to? You know, it doesn't make sense to me. I just like, what about the line cooks? What about those people? What about, you know, I they're so terrified of cutting any kind of welfare for themselves. This is what we get. And then they're struggling even with that. They're saying middle and low income seniors are going to be able to deduct an additional $4,000. From what I understand with that, they're basically just, it's not actually, they're not actually able to. It's basically a waiting period. They're not getting a removal of their taxes on. I can't believe that people. It's the dumbest thing when you think about taxes on Social Security. It is the dumbest thing. The government forces you to give your money up, and then they tax you when they give it back to you. Mm-hmm. It is this. It's extortion
without interest.
At least the mafia is nice about it, and then they give you protection. You know, they'll protect your store. I mean, yeah, it's extortion, but they'll protect your store. Hell, the government doesn't even do this. The government's one big giant mafia that operates with less honor. Let's just put it like that. It's true. It's true. This is so stupid. So the lower tax rates and brackets, those will stay. Apparently, I'm not, this isn't enough for me. None of this is enough for me. This is why I tell you, Republicans are too left for me, especially fiscally. It is, they're way too left, way too left. The, let's see, the tax cuts, I don't, they're talking about incentivizing expansion, growing operations in America, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. I'm just, I feel, first off, I feel like this bill, the seniors get the shaft again. Everybody's been debating it, but honestly, you're getting a deduction, but you're still, you still have a tax liability. So that doesn't make, I mean, Kane, that's how I'm interpreting this. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, that's literally what it is. I mean, you can't really interpret it any other way. This didn't go far enough, and I think it's because we don't have the spine that it takes in order to push what is necessary through based on all of these deals we know that are coming. And just the bellwether of the larger ones that have already happened.
The promise was no tax on Social Security for seniors.
Yes.
Okay, this isn't it.
No, it definitely isn't.
I got to call balls and strikes. This is what the Republicans are putting up. That's not it.
So were they giving this as a concession? Because that's not how the original one read. The original one read that there was cuts for Social Security taxes.
And the original draft, I don't think it was that. Well, not in any bill that I've seen that's in committee. I mean, they're still debating and negotiating. So maybe, I don't know, maybe something like that makes its way in. Maybe it doesn't. But the way that it is right now, it's still going to get hit with a tax. They're saying, oh, well, you can do a deduction. You're still getting hit with it. You're still being taxed on it. You still have a tax liability, is my point. So make that make sense. I have my friends, my group of friends, they are divided into two factions. One of them are more like me, pretty independent. They just go for the more fiscally sane thing, the more fiscally conservative thing, too conservative for Republicans. And then I have my friends who literally wrap their vehicles with MAGA red. It's the true thing that's happened. I love them. And they're at each other's throats. I actually left the text group this morning. I'm like, I've gotten 40, what did I get?
Notifications?
No, it was over 52 notifications. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't, because then they'll like, you know, like, don't you agree? Like, sidebar. No, I stop. I'm on air. Not doing this with you. I had to leave the group. I'm like, I can't. They're arguing back and forth about it. But it's not the same as what they all campaigned on.
I suspect they'll have to break this up. It can't be one big, beautiful bill. If they're trying to do this, they have to do it like this incrementally, because they can't do it like this in one big, beautiful bill. And then we're done until when? September? Or when's the next one come
up? September.
So, no. If we're going to do this incrementally, then say you're doing it incrementally. It might be more palatable to some people, but you're right. This isn't what we were promised.
Yeah, and I'm this and cutting at least $2 trillion, which was what was promised. That's not happening. And I really liked what Senator Paul said yesterday about all of that in terms of what's being caught up in litigation. It's like, well, it's, you know, we can do this. It's something that we can do regardless. I mean, the litigation comes from trying to say that the president is doing it unilaterally, which he isn't. But he's like, you know, all we have to do is just do it. But I told you, look, if you go back to Greece, hang on, let me pull up my notes here. When you go back to what Greece did, when was this? In 2011. So they had the EU's austerity requirements, and they were, because Greece was broke. They were absolutely broke. They had debt. I mean, the public to the debt to GDP ratio, I think it was, I mean, just last year it was 153%. It's insane. It was an economic collapse. They had loss of tax revenues. They had entitlement spending. I mean, it was, they were in debt so badly, it was just crazy. So they were going to cut public spending. And this was the it was first proposed in May of 2010. They were going to cut public spending in Greece. Well, everybody lost their minds. So they had this huge anti-austerity movement, which is not like what you would see here with the left, like people out there campaigning for more government spending, more government involvement. So they had an anti-austerity movement that kicked off. There were riots. You remember all the riots? Like people, it was like watching burn, loot, murder. They weren't just like protests. They burned, I mean, they were throwing rocks at cops. They were burning things. They were there's vandalism. They were going to cut public spending and raise taxes for their austerity for the EU austerity requirements, because the European Union was like, you got to get your stuff together. And the Greek parliament voted to accept all of it. And then everything went crazy and people did not want austerity. They did not want that. The Greek government demanded a bailout package from the European Union. They said that there were all of these requirements that went along with accepting it. So they said they had like four or five rounds of austerity measures that they ended up. They had an increase in the VAT, all of that. People were rioting over it. They were upset. There was a lot of unrest. And they looked at austerity as deprivation. When you have government spending so much on entitlements, you become used to it. When government takes care of you, you become used to it. And violent riots broke out as a result of that. And this is why I was telling people, they think that they want a cut in spending. Like all of these people, they go out and say, yeah, we want somebody who's going to cut spending. And then when it comes down to it, oh my gosh, when you talk about going and looking at Medicare or stopping any kind of waste, fraud, and abuse or whatever it is, they lose their minds. Like you have three Republicans right now in the House that are not going to consider any spending bill that defunds Planned Parenthood. Michael Oliver is one of them. That's crazy. You have others that are like, no, we're not going to touch Medicare. We're not going to touch any of that. We have to, Josh Hawley from Missouri is like, no, we got to have something for the working poor. I thought you wanted austerity. I thought you wanted to cut spending. I thought you wanted to get away from the entitlement welfare structure that the system has morphed into. This mission creep. Everybody always talks a really good game, but when it comes down to it, they're too scared to do anything about it. And then if they lose their seats, the next people do the same thing. They all talk a really good game, but then they're too scared to do anything about it. And the cycle continues. We've been hearing this forever. Didn't I tell you the last time that we had this debt ceiling debate that they were doing this before the election? We have to wait till after the election, right? So, okay, February. Oh, let's wait till spring. Now, here we are in spring and we're debating this. Now they're saying, well, we may not be able to get everything this round. We're going to have to kick it to September. I told you literally verbatim that this is going to happen. And it's happening because this is how it's always happened. There's not going to be any meaningful cuts. None of the stuff that Doge recommended. It's a stunt. It's nothing but a stunt unless it's made permanent. And there is not the balls in Congress to make it happen. I hate to tell you this, it's not going to happen. They are not going to get $2 trillion in cuts. They won't do it. Even if they can, which they can, they will not do it. Because it's fait accompli. Just like how they promised you Obamacare, they were going to repeal Obamacare. My gosh, Kane, we've been hearing about the repeal Obamacare since 2010 when it passed. Yep. Here we are all these years later and nothing. And in fact, half of the problem with R&D and pharmaceuticals and everything else is because of the excise taxes in Obamacare. Medical devices shot up in expense because of the excise taxes in Obamacare. Pharmaceuticals, medicines got more expensive because of the excise taxes in Obamacare. Health insurance got more expensive overall because of the structure of Obamacare. The refusal to allow different companies to compete across state lines. The refusal to allow portability. Which, by the way, that was incorporated in not one, but three separate Republican bills that were proposed at the exact same time. But Democrats wouldn't let them out of committee to be considered or discussed on the floor. So spare me the whole, well, Republicans didn't offer anything. They did, but not enough of them had the balls to actually carry it through. Just like how even fewer of them have the beans to do it now. So no. And then now this whole thing, well, we're no tax on Social Security. Well, yeah, we're going to tax Social Security. That's in this. We're going to reduce your taxes, but only for a specific working class, very specifically. It's a joke. It's not enough. I'm not going to pretend to be excited about it for clicks either. I mean, some people can whore themselves out that way if they want to, but I'm not. We have more on the way. As we roll towards the bottom of this hour, our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the Gen 3 Sub 2K. If you don't have it, you need it. Now, I'm going to have to get this one. This is one that I actually do not have. And it's now it's 10 millimeter. I was like really wanted to run to the mic the first chance. The first time I heard of this, I was like, oh, I want to go tell everybody. So it's the new third gen Sub 2K. This is the rifle that folds like in half, right? Innovation with a twist, that rotating fore end. And you can, it deploys zeroed and ready to go. It folds up, optics and all. You don't have to take anything off. And it takes Glock mags. You have a standard 15-round Glock mag, which is awesome. Glock 20, I got a lot of capacity for whatever your shooting needs are. And folds down to just under 17 inches for easy storage and transport. Light and 5-pound trigger pull, internal buffer for softer recoil, integrated M-lock, rails up top for accessory attachments. This is ideal for legit everything. And Kel-Tec makes everything right here in the U.S. of A. You're talking about American labor, American parts, American manufacturing. We need more American companies like Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com, innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. It's the new Sub 2K Gen 3 10 millimeter. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I mentioned this headline a little earlier, and we're going to dive into this more tomorrow, but the Virginia governor's race moved from toss-up to lean Democrat. Now, why is that? Well, apparently it is because of the issues of job losses from federal workers, and this dovetails into what we were just talking about with Republicans being too scared to make cuts. Virginia is set to lose about 30,000 jobs this year because of all of federal employees, government employees. That's what it is. And so apparently that's a huge reason, according to the Koch Political Report, as to why this race is now being classified as a leans Democrat. This is why Republicans will sacrifice like common sense fiscal measures for power every time. So will Democrats, but Republicans too. And they, at least Republicans, make false promises. Also, let's see here. We talked about some of this. Some of this is old. Some of this is all old stuff. So Disneyland apparently removed the silhouette of Walt Disney because people were saying that it looked like Trump. It's supposed to be Walt Disney holding Mickey Mouse's hand. Yeah, apparently on X, everyone was saying that they thought that it looked like Trump. And it was just a silhouette. But they said that it drew immediate attention for its peculiar headline. Coming up, RFK Jr. and autism with our contributor, Lorraine, coming up next. Stick with us. GoldCo is making it easy to take that first step toward protecting your savings. Just fill out a quick form, no commitment, just free information. And then they'll ship you your free 2025 gold and silver kit straight to your door. No shipping fees, no strings. Just a free info kit to help you understand how gold and silver can fit into your financial plan. I'm a big believer in doing your research, and this kit is a great place to start. So I'm really excited to be partnering with GoldCo because not only do they support my show, which I truly appreciate, but they've made the whole process of buying precious metals super straightforward. Because if you're a fan of the show, GoldCo is also going to tell you how to qualify for unlimited free bonus silver on eligible orders. If you qualify, you can even get a free half-ounce silver Ronald Reagan coin, totally free. Don't wait. Take that first step towards protecting and diversifying your savings with GoldCo. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast, the stream, channel 347, the chat at Rumble. And again, we are not responsible for those people. Those people make them mad. That's all I'm going to say. If you are a subscriber over at Chapter and Verse, over at Substack, there was a really good piece. And I heard from a lot of folks on this, including some of my very good friends who either have like spouses that are on the spectrum or they have children that are on the spectrum. Because this is, it's a weird thing. They're very excited to see America incorporate some healthy standards. But at the same time, some of the discussion on some of the issues is not good. And this all stems from, let me go back to this, April 21st, Health and Human Services announcement. So they said under the NIH director, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, that they were going to create a new, and the phrase was a new disease registry focused on autism. And a lot of people were up in arms, understandably, about this. Because first off, why are we making a list? Number one, what is, I don't understand what the obsession is with registries. But also, when you're describing a particular issue, it's like you can't use a blanket term to describe it while you're also simultaneously stating that you want to help alleviate it. It just, that doesn't help. So there's a really good piece from our contributor, and you know her, she moderates the chat as well, Lorraine Uriar, who I'm not rolling my R's. She said I didn't have to. That it's called RFK Jr.'s Troublesome Autism Registry. And if you haven't read it yet, it is a must-read deep dive on this issue. And not just her experiences as well, but also why it's a problem that NIH is looking to deal with this issue nationally in this way. Lorraine Uriar joins us now via video. Lorraine, good to see you. This was a great piece. There was a lot of really good feedback on this. Give me your first thoughts.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
When you first heard this, like, disease registry, I mean, I have family and friends that either have kids with autism or themselves they have autism, and from my experience, that's how none of them have ever described this issue. What did you first think of when you heard that?
Yeah, the biggest problem to me is how RFK just talks about autism and period. He seems to have, I don't know, the worst stereotype to apply to way too many people. He keeps quoting that like 26% number, which he got from the CDC study, but the CDC study put everybody labeled level 3 autism into that 26 number. And like, I have a child who's considered a level 3 autism, and she's used to be considered high functioning autistic. So she doesn't fit that profile that he's talking about at all. I've said before too, if you meet one person with autism, you meet one person with autism. So I know that my family's experience with autism, because I have autism, I have my oldest is autistic, and my middle child's also autistic. We're all on the higher end of the spectrum. I can completely understand why people who are on the lower end of the spectrum are all very, very much want something done. I can understand that, because I mean, there's so much out there, and it's hard to watch your kid be that way and not be able to do much. But the way that RFK is talking about everything, I don't think he's actually looking for what people think he is. I think he's already got an answer in mind, and he's looking for data that will support that.
Interesting, because he uses the phrase, and you touched on this as well, on the phrase profound autism. It's a new term that, yeah, that you wrote was coined in 2022. And you write, that's meant to refer to people who need 24/7 care, who can't live on their own. And you talked about this is where you said the stereotypes that he's referring to belong. But you also say, well, the CDC seems to classify everyone in level 3 as such. And then there's even more problems.
Yeah. Well, level 3 is like you're nonverbal or barely verbal. Like, I mean, in my case, my daughter can talk, but she doesn't talk to people she doesn't know. Mm. And she doesn't talk often. So she got classified as level 3. But she's nowhere near anything like what he describes as, you know, this profound autism. Profound autism is meant to basically for the kids that are like, or the people that are the IQ is under 50. And that's what profound is supposed to mean. And the whole reason for this term profound is because the DSM-5 kind of screwed us all up and dumped us all into one big pile and then tried to sort it out with these levels. And they don't really do much.
Yeah, and that's a problem. We're talking with Lorraine Uhr, if you're listening, moderator over at the chat at Rumble and a contributor at Chapter and Verse as well. You really dove deep into this because you noted, too, the study that he cites, you know, the number of these diagnoses, have they increased over the years? But that profound, again, going back to that newly coined phrase, that's actually stayed relatively steady. But they, his claim is that it's a growing epidemic. How do you take that?
I look at the data and he likes to say, oh, well, it can't possibly be because of better diagnostics. But, and in fact, in that article I have, there's a chart from California that shows how it's increasing. And I plotted on that chart where the DSM-5 diagnostics changed for autism and where federal money got involved for the school systems. Because prior to 1975, school systems did not take special needs kids.
Yeah.
It was very rare for a school to take a special needs kid. And, once 1975, the first Education for Disabilities Act or whatever, I forget exactly what it's called, was passed, the federal government started funding this stuff, and that's when school systems start looking for it. And a lot of kids with autism these days are diagnosed in the school system. And so, you know, between that and the No Child Left Behind, which... under No Child Left Behind, anybody that was a special need, you still had to get standardized testing, but you had a modified test and your score counted differently. And so because of that, it kind of gave the school system an incentive, a financial incentive, and to start labeling as many as they could.
Wow. That is, I mean... that explains a lot, quite a lot. And you get into that with this piece over at Chapter and Verse over at Substack. For those of you who are turning in or just tuning in, there's also the issue you touch on because this. I think that Dr. Bhattacharya and RFK Jr., it seems like they're kind of walking back this registry. Because the first thing I thought of when I saw that, and of course you touched on this in your piece, but the thing that popped in my head was, okay, well, what about like privacy, like HIPAA and patient privacy? Like, how does that factor into like creating a registry? What would that solve?
Well, the problem isn't so much the registry. They do have disease registries for other issues that they follow. And that's not necessarily the problem. The problem is, and I can see the good and bad to this, but Dr. Bhattacharya wants the he wants to create a real world platform where he wants the NIH to become a one stop shop for all of the health data that researchers might need. And he also wants it to be able to track patients in real time. And he says that inside this real world platform, the personal identifying information would be stripped out so that researchers can't find it. But it's going to be in there because they're going to be getting data not just from Medicare and Medicaid. They're going to be getting data from the VA, TRICARE, private healthcare industries, your smartwatch.
Wow.
They plan to get data from. They plan to get data from everywhere, and they want to be able to connect you, that patient, across all of those different sources, so that your information is all tied together, which means that whatever way they do that has to be inside the platform, where when they get my stuff from my private doctor versus my TRICARE doctor, they can link my name together and then put that same anonymizing ID onto that documentation. So that's a problem because the federal government's been hacked like a lot, like 1,200 times in the last 7 years. So, yeah, it's crazy. So I don't trust for one bit that they wouldn't get hacked. And on top of that, he says he seems to think this is going to help by saying that, oh, we're not going to let anybody download your information. They have to access it from here. So that means that whenever they want to work with data, they have to be online, which means the database has to be online 24/7. Do we really think that's not going to get hacked? Like, that's going to be a huge problem.
Wow.
And the thing is, people need to realize this doesn't just apply to autism. he's planning to extend this to every chronic disease that they're doing research on. So diabetes is going to be in there, arthritis, anything that they do research on, any chronic disease, he wants all the data for it to be in this platform.
And that worries me because we've, as you noted, I'm still trying to process 1,200 times in 7 years. That is insane. Yeah. I think of the Social Security information that was hacked and leaked, IRS information that gets hacked and leaked. Who's mm-hmm. to say that? I mean, depending on who we have in the White House in 2028, I mean, we saw during COVID things be leaked and be weaponized and used against people. Who's to assure us? What's the guarantee that this wouldn't be the same? I mean, I don't see any.
Exactly. He's like, oh, well, we're going to have state-of-the-art protections. Sure. And I'm sure they had state-of-the-art protections on our Social Security data that got hacked, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't really trust it. I don't trust that it won't get hacked.
I don't
understand the benefit for what he's trying to do, because, like, one of the things he said is that with data in so many different sources, the NIH then has to buy access to that data. And then they wind up just, so they'll buy from company A and then they'll buy from company B. And when they get the data from both companies, they wind up finding out it's the exact same data. So they've paid twice for the same data. And so I understand that, it's like, I get what he wants to do and I understand it. But at the same time, it's a bit concerning. It's kind of like how the NRA right now, or not the NRA, the 2A, the mm-hmm. National Gun Registry stuff.
Yeah.
How the federal government can't have an actual gun registry, but technically there is one because mm-hmm. all the FFAs have to keep all that documentation. And then once they shut down those, you know, they shut down the little small gun shops, all that data gets sent to the federal government.
Yep.
Where they're digitizing it because, hey, it needs to be searchable. So what we have there is just it's non-centralized, but it's still a gun registry. It's just not centralized. Well, right. What we have now is still like a database for health. It's just not centralized,
yeah,
which helps to prevent so much of it from getting hacked. But they want to just centralize everything into one place.
That's terrifying, a terrifying realization.
Yes.
One last quick question, too. It feels like their heart is in the right place when they talk about how to best assist people in the autism community. But I feel like this, it seems like it's a very universal, almost kind of one size fits all, or they're trying to figure out how to kind of distill it down to make it like the easiest and most kind of universal application. And I feel like out of every thing that's out there, this is like so individualized that you just can't approach it that way.
Yeah, it's difficult because, like I said, the frustrating thing with RFK is he keeps saying genetics is a dead end. Genetics is a dead end. But we already know there's so much evidence out there that genes play a really key role in everything. They have found one genetic mutation that is the difference between how autism presents in men and women. They have found hundreds of potential mutations that might be affecting how autism works. They found at least 7 genetic mutations that appear in like families that have hereditary right. autism, like my family does.
Wow.
So genetics is definitely a key factor here. There is a possibility that environment could play a role, but we also know that your environment can affect your genetics.
Yeah.
And so there's studies that can be done, like the whole vaccine thing. Everybody likes to quote Andrew Wakefield, and his study was so bad and so debunked. And I wrote about that in the first piece I did on this. We don't have any studies that show what vaccines might do to our genetics. We don't have any vaccines that show what vaccines might affect on our genetics over time,
right,
throughout generations. And that's something that could be studied, but we're not going to get that out of this crew.
Yeah.
They are so insistent. He has actually legitimately says that he knows that it is an environmental toxin or something.
You can't shut off half of the
queries. He knows it's
like
something
that.
Environmental because, like, he's compared autism to smoking cigarettes.
You can't do that.
You can't trust anything that comes out of this because, like I said, it seems like they already have decided on what the answers are.
They
just want to try
solution.
To find the data to fit.
Right. The piece is RFK Jr.'s Troublesome Autism Registry. It's a very good, thorough read on this issue, and you should definitely read it from Lorraine Uriar. Always a pleasure. Lorraine, this is a great piece. You do great work. Go and read her over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find her in the chat. You can see the chat folks in the back over at Rumble on the Daily. Lorraine, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk with you again soon.
All right, see you.
See ya. God bless. Your body is a powerhouse. It heals, it builds, it keeps you moving. But as you age, those natural processes slow down. And that's where Ancient Nutrition's collagen comes in. It's like backup power for your body. It helps you stay strong, radiant, and ready for anything. Ancient Nutrition blends ancient wisdom with modern science to create high-quality supplements. And their multi-collagen advanced lean features 10 types of collagen from real food-based sources. It's powered by clinically studied ingredients that support fat loss, healthy weight management, and lean muscle building. You'll love it because it can reduce your joint discomfort, boost your skin, your hair, and nails, and plus, you'll love how it tastes and how easily it fits into your daily routine. Collagen is real and it works, and Ancient Nutrition's Multi-Collagen Advanced Lean has you covered. Look and feel your best starting today. Right now, Ancient Nutrition is offering you 25% off your first order. Just visit ancientnutrition.com/Dana, promo code Dana. That's ancientnutrition.com/Dana, code Dana, for 25% off your first order.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
So make sure you go sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. That's where that piece is at. Lots of good stuff comes out there on the reg. So make sure you read it. That's a very in-depth piece, by the way. With RFK Jr. in autism, a must read. All right, today in stupidity, Ken,
well,
what's we got?
Well, since we have several cuts of audio for this, I just figure we won't play any because it was Chuck Schumer. Today, we talked about Chuck Schumer when questioned about... So, was Biden actually, you know, all there when he was president and Schumer back then insisted that he was? Now... He doesn't want to be held accountable for that. He says we want to move forward. So that's going to be the new
talking point. We're moving forward.
There.
That's what I'm going to say anytime I'm ever wrong about anything.
Oh, why'd you slap me?
Yeah, we're moving forward, Kane. Moving forward. That's what we're doing. Folks, that does it for us today. Again, find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Like and subscribe. YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. God bless.